Turn to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. Or, of course, you can follow along in the bulletin. Proverbs 8, and I'll be reading verses 1 to 11. Does not wisdom cry out, and understanding lift up her voice? She takes her stand on the top of the high hill, beside the way where the pass meets. She cries out by the gates, at the entry of the city, at the entrance of the doors. To you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O you simple ones, understand prudence, and you fools, be of an understanding heart. Listen, for I will speak of excellent things, and from the opening of my lips will come right things. For my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. They are all plain to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. You may be seated. Our Father, we do ask that you would bless and encourage the hearts of your people as we think about the beauty and the wonder and the blessedness of wisdom, that we might know the truthfulness of how good it is to have your wisdom, wisdom that comes from above. And may we be men and women, boys and girls that desire to know your wisdom, which is to be is not to be compared with anything else that we can receive, knowing that your wisdom is the chief thing. And so we pray that you would teach us by your word the blessing and value of wisdom. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We continue on as we're in the first chapters of Proverbs. Chapters 1 through 9 is basically a section of Proverbs. And we're in chapter 8 as we continue to see the father instructing his children about the blessing of wisdom. The blessing of wisdom. Last week, we saw the blessing of not walking into the immoral, adulterous woman who is dressed in the attire of a harlot. And we saw that we are to not give ourselves to that type of woman, and women are not to be that type of woman, but they are to give themselves to holiness and righteousness. Now we see wisdom personified as speaking, as preaching, as heralding the way that we ought to go. Because in life we have two choices. Either we're walking in the way of foolishness or the way of wisdom. We're either doing what is wise, prudent, and godly, or we are doing it our own way and therefore going against God's wisdom to our own detriment. Whenever we choose foolishness, we're actually harming ourselves. The irony of it is when people think they're free to do whatever they want, that's when they're actually most in harm's way. But when we are, quote unquote, constrained by the wisdom of God's word, we are most free. Because you have an example like a fence. If a fence is right across from a cliff, right, let's say 5 feet from where the fence ends, there's a cliff. If you don't have that fence, you're a lot more tentative of what you can and cannot do because there's so much harm. If you have that fence, you know, as long as I'm inside that fence, I'm safe. And God's wisdom does that for our life. We know that as long as we are in the fence of God's wisdom, there's safety. And therefore, God's wisdom isn't to constrain us to say, I want everybody to be sad and upset and hate life. And so therefore, be in this fence. No, he's saying, I want you to experience the best. And therefore, this fence that I made, namely my wisdom and my law, is so that you can experience the best of this backyard with the safety of knowing you're not going off the cliff. And that's why we must receive God's wisdom. God's wisdom is not to constrain us, but to free us and not to bring harm. And we must first and foremost, whatever it is in God's word, must be convinced that God is telling us this, yes, because it glorifies him, but also because it is best for us who are made in his image. God's glory and our best are not at odds with each other. God seeking his glory and what is for our best interest go together. And therefore, by glorifying God and obeying his commands, we are actually saying that we desire to go well with us. And this godly father, because he loves his children, wants his sons in particular, but also his daughters, to walk in wisdom because he wants what's best for them. Because he wants them to prosper and thrive and grow and be all that they can be in God's grace and for God's glory. And so he is telling us in this section, as we see wisdom personified, he wants us to have what is best and what is good and what is wholesome and what is for our well-being. God's commandments and God's glory work together to show us that this is the way we ought to go because we desire good in our lives. And so we see, again, the call of wisdom in this chapter, particularly verses 1 to 11. So my main point of this sermon is wisdom crying out that we might hear and heed her call. Wisdom crying out that we might hear and heed her call. My first point, wisdom cries out. Wisdom cries out. And my second point, wisdom's speech. Wisdom's speech. So verse 1 again. Does not wisdom cry out? And understanding lift up her voice. Wisdom is personified as crying out, which is a way of describing preaching. That wisdom is standing up, preaching, crying out, lifting up her voice so that anyone under earshot would hear. We'll see it's pictured as someone standing up in an open square and standing up, preaching to those who might hear so that they might hear wisdom. Crying out, lifting up her voice. Let me just say this for clarity. This is not promoting women preaching. It's wisdom personified. So using wisdom as a her is not saying women should stand up and preach. It's using personification language to make the point. But it's describing wisdom as a her. And so that's important to know. That's not describing that women should be preachers, teachers, or open air preach. It's describing wisdom as a her and what she's doing. God's wisdom. And so wisdom is crying out, lifting up her voice, proclaiming, heralding, so that we might hear and heed what she has to say. Because each and every day we are hearing voices, whether through media, through people we're interacting with, through friendships. And either that wisdom is based on lady wisdom, God's wisdom, or it is based on a fallen, demonic view of how we should live life. And so therefore, we're always having something crying out to us in that sense. Even if it's just our own thoughts, they're crying out, this is the way we ought to go. And if it's not shaped by lady wisdom, it is going to lead us in a path that's not helpful. And so therefore, Lady Wisdom is crying out, lifting up her voice, because she wants those who would hear her to live and to have the blessing of God's wisdom. And he goes on to say, she takes her stand on the top of the hill. She gets high up so that people see her. She's not trying to hide. Wickedness wants to hide. Wickedness wants to be in the dark, as we saw the immoral woman. She wants to hide. She wants to do it in twilight so that no one sees. Lady Wisdom is all for everybody seeing it. Because she wants people to see her, not to make much of her, but so that they give attention to her wisdom. And so she's fine with being in the open square, being publicly displayed, because she wants people to know that that way is going to destroy you and eventually damn you. This is the way of life and blessing, and therefore heed my call. She wants to do it in the openness because she's not ashamed. Lady Wisdom is not ashamed of what she has to say. She's not worried if someone puts her on the news and says, you know what, you know you were saying this. Yes, I know that, and I'll tell you again. Because she's not ashamed of it. She wants people to know. There's no shame in her proclaiming and her telling the world, Lady Wisdom, that this is the way that we ought to go. There's no shame. And that's the wonderful thing. When you have a position that you know and can defend, you don't have to feel shame about it. If you know it's a biblical position, it's based on God's wisdom, you can shout as loud as you want because there's no shame to it. And if someone presses you, you can defend it. And therefore, you can stand on the rock of God's truth. And Lady Wisdom is truth because she's personified as God's wisdom. And therefore, she is without shame at the top of the high hill, lifting up her voice and crying out. That's what's being pictured. She's then, it says, beside the way where the paths meet. So she's in the place where people are going to be there. People are going to see her. People are going to talk to her, interact with her possibly, because she's at the high hill beside the way where the paths meet. So it's a place where people are going to be. And therefore, she is standing up proclaiming that everyone who would give her the time of day would hear her wisdom and would follow it. She's not ashamed. She's not ashamed of what she has. So let me just make this application right now. It is important that Christians are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And all of us, me included, can at certain times feel ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if we know what we believe and why we believe it and are able to defend it and articulate it in a way that's effective, we shouldn't be ashamed. We shouldn't be ashamed of what the Word of God says. We should be able to say, I'm not ashamed of it. I'm willing to use the language of the text, proclaim it from the rooftop, because this is true and this is right, and therefore I'm not ashamed of it. Yes, you can put a microphone in front of my face and I'll still say it, because it's true, because it's right. And we must not be ashamed, because that's what the world wants us to be. It wants us to be ashamed of holding to biblical truth. Lady Wisdom isn't ashamed. And she gives us a picture, again, wisdom personified, that we ought not to be ashamed of God's truth. We shouldn't be ashamed that God has made us male and female in his own image. We shouldn't be ashamed that marriage is only between one man and one woman. We shouldn't be ashamed to say abortion is murder. We shouldn't be ashamed to say the only way someone gets to heaven is through faith alone in Jesus Christ. We should not be ashamed to say that there's only one God and every other God is an idol of man's imagination. We should not be ashamed of these things, because these things are true. And God wants us to be unashamed of his truth, to hold to it, to be dogmatic about it. As Steve Lawson would say, not only dogmatic, but bulldogmatic about the truth. Because we love it. Because we desire everyone to know and understand the truth. Why? Because we believe it glorifies God, and because we believe it's good for them. We're not doing this just because we want to, quote unquote, be right. We believe that when people follow God's ways, it goes well for them. That it might be well with them. We know that's connected with the fifth commandment, but it has broad application to any of God's law. That it might go well with them. And therefore, we stand strong. We want to not be ashamed of God's word, because we know that it glorifies the God who made us, and it is for their good. And Lady Wisdom is not ashamed. She's willing to stand up on the high places, the high hill, beside the way where the paths meet. She's fine with doing that because she is unashamed of wisdom. She is unashamed of the wisdom that she is promoting. Then it says in verse 3, she cries out by the gates, at the entry of the city, at the entrance of the doors. Again, she wants to be as visible as possible. She wants to be right by the gates, right by the entry of the city, that you can't even get into the city without seeing Lady Wisdom crying out with her voice raised, saying, hear what I have to say to you. Listen to me. Listen up. She wants to make sure everyone can hear. And she's not in her own little corner saying, I'm just going to have my own little time and I hope no one really hears me. But no, she is unashamed. And therefore, she stands up. She stands up and cries out about the truth of God's word. That she is willing to stand up and proclaim and herald the wisdom that comes from God. And this is why it's such a blessing in our day to have men who stand up in different places and are unashamed, boldly in public places, and are boldly, with gentleness, respect, but with boldness, proclaiming the truth of God's wisdom. They say, we want people to see us. We want people to look at us, not so that they come to us, but they come to faith in Jesus Christ and they come to know God's wisdom. It's a very humbling thing, because you feel as if you're standing up and just people have no desire to listen to what you want to say sometimes. But at the same time, you realize that you are standing on God's truth. And therefore, you have a way to stand when the world is shifting and shaking because it's built on sand. When our faith is built on the rock, we have the blessing of knowing when we cry out, we are speaking the truth of God's word. And so Lady Wisdom is crying out at the entrance of the sea, at the entrance of the door, so that everyone sees her, so that everyone knows what she has to say. And here we see now, my second point, wisdom speech. So she's crying out. Now we get explicitly into what she's saying to them. She says, "To you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men." As I was researching this, I was wondering if it meant she was only calling out to the males or to mankind. And in my study, that's the word for mankind, that she's calling out to men in the sense of men generically, males and females. And she's calling out to the sons of men, the children of men, that they might hear and heed what she has to say. So the call is not to this particular people. It's not even to the Jews only. It's to men. It's to mankind. It's to men and women, boys and girls. It's to males and females. So they would hear what she has to say. It's broad. It's a broad call to whoever would hear, because she's at the entrance of the city and she's at the entrance of the doors. And she says, "Oh, you simple ones, understand prudence. And you fools, be of an understanding heart." So she's talking about those who are simple, those who are foolish, those who are walking in their own path because they're not walking according to Lady Wisdom. And he says, "Oh, you simple ones, understand prudence. And you fools, be of an understanding heart." Simple is the reality of naive, not having knowledge, not knowing the right way. And the law of the Lord, according to Psalm 19, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The word of God, the wisdom that comes from heaven, makes the simple wise. And therefore, she's saying to those who are simple that they might be wise by her wisdom. First and foremost, someone to go from simple to wise, they must have the wisdom of salvation, which is through faith in Jesus Christ. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14 and 15, it talks about Timothy, how he understood the Holy Scriptures from a child, which were able to make him wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And so he needed to hear and heed what God was saying. And he was able to hear from the Old Testament how he might have wisdom unto salvation. And then we need wisdom in sanctification, not only conversion, but in sanctification, to understand prudence, what is wise and right and acceptable, and to be of an understanding heart. This is what God wants for those who would hear Lady Wisdom, to have prudence and to be of an understanding heart. Then Lady Wisdom goes on to say, "Listen, for I will speak of excellent things, and from the openings of my lips will come right things. For my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips." She says, what I'm saying is excellent things. Listen to me, I'm speaking to you excellent things. Not things that are perverse, not things that are based on wickedness, but things that are right and good and excellent. Because wickedness to Lady Wisdom is an abomination. And so she wants to speak the truth, nothing but the truth. Wisdom is, she is communicating, Lady Wisdom, what is excellent, right, pure, holy, and it is contrasted with wickedness. Wickedness, she hates. She's not promoting wickedness. She's not like the immoral woman, the woman folly, who is given to wickedness and sensuality. She is a woman who hates wickedness. That's an abomination. She loathes wickedness, because what comes out of her mouth is truth and excellent things and right things. That's what she desires to teach, explain, make known, that we might understand and make clear, she might make clear what is excellent. This is important as well, because we have so many different voices in our own day and to contrast them, Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly, we need to know the Word of God well enough to know if that is a wicked, if that is wickedness or that is right. And sadly, people can get deceived in the world that we live in because they don't have a understanding of God's word well enough to sift through the errors of our culture. And they can easily be taken captive because they don't really understand, how do I discern this? How do I know this? And this is why it's so important for us to be bathing our minds and our hearts, listening to sound teachers and reading the Word of God and knowing the whole counsel of God, so that when something comes up, we are able to discern that that is wickedness and that's not right. That's not excellent. That's not pure. If you turn with me to Philippians 4, we see the importance of this in that chapter, Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4 and verse 8. Philippians 4, 8. The text says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned," verse 9, "and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." And so he's saying to them, Paul by the Holy Spirit here is saying, the way that you can live faithfully in this culture is by dwelling and meditating on and thinking about things that are true. That are true. They're noble. They're just. They're based on righteousness. They're pure. They're lovely. They are of a good report. They're virtuous and they're praiseworthy. And he says, meditate on these things. And if we are dwelling on things more that are false, not noble, based on wickedness, not pure but defiled, not lovely but base, not of a good report but of a scandalous report, not virtuous but sinful, and not praiseworthy but to be denounced, then we are not going to be able to discern and be able to guard our own hearts and our own lives in this present evil world. And so this is what we are to do. And then not only that, but what we are meditating on, we're to practice. These do, and the God of peace will be with you. And so we can have in our day, sadly, where people, because they're not rooted and grounded in God's word, can easily be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. That's what he talks about children. Children are the most susceptible because they are not able to be rooted and grounded, so they can be tossed to and fro. And some Christians in the baby stage can be tossed easily because they're not rooted and grounded in God's word. And so God wants us to not be taken captive by philosophy, empty deceit, that is not according to Christ. It needs to be based on Lady Wisdom, or the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God. And so we need to have discernments in this day that we live in. Back to Proverbs 8. After Lady Wisdom says, "For my mouth will speak truth, wickedness is an abomination of my lips," then she said, "All the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them." Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. She's saying, what comes out of my mouth is righteousness. It's not crooked. It's not perverse. It's righteous. It's godly. Let me show you another text, Ephesians chapter 5, which shows how we should relate to those things in our world and how the saints should deal with these things. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 3. Ephesians 5 and verse 3. After he told us that we are to imitate God and we are to walk in love as Christ loved us. Verse 3. "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. And so the Word of God tells us that we are to set aside, they shouldn't even be spoken of in a positive context, fornication, uncleanness, covetousness. Don't even let it be named among you in any positive light because it's not fitting for saints. It's contrasted. Lady Wisdom says, nothing crooked or perverse comes out of my mouth. And God says to his saints, don't in a positive way speak about fornication, uncleanness, or covetousness. It shouldn't even be named among you, which is fitting for saints. Don't have filthy talk or foolish talking or coarse jesting because those things are not fitting for saints. But instead, we should be giving thanks. We should be giving thanks. So those things, God tells us that those things are to be set aside, killed, crucified, put aside. Because those things are not connected, not fitting for the saints. If we stumble in any of these areas, we repent, we confess, we continue to move on. But our desire is to not dwell on these things. And so we see that Lady Wisdom, her words are righteousness. Her words are not promoting fornication, uncleanness, covetousness. Her words are not about filthiness or coarse jesting or foolish talking. None of those things are in her mouth. Her mouth is righteousness, purity, holiness, godliness, not crooked speech, not perverse speech. Those things are not in her language. Those things are put aside. But her words are righteousness and truth. And then she says in verse 9, Lady Wisdom, they are all plain to him who understands and right to those who find knowledge. What she's saying is this, my words are clear. You don't understand because you don't want to understand them, she's saying. My words are clear. What I'm saying is plain. It's simple. I'm not trying to be complex. I'm not trying to speak over your head. My words are very plain to him who understands. I think it was Mark Twain who said, the Bible isn't hard to understand. Something to the effect, he said, the parts I understand, that's my problem. It's easy to understand, I just don't like it. I think that was him paraphrasing what he said. But that's a lot of times what it is. The Word of God is clear on many issues. The problem is, are we willing to obey those clear things? They're plain. They're right in front of us. They're right there. Are we willing to obey and give heed to those plain things? They're plain to him who understands and right to those who find knowledge. A lot of times, if we were more honest, it's not that it's not clear. It's we don't want to obey it. We don't want to do it. But the text says here that Lady Wisdom, God's wisdom is plain. It's clear. It's not obscure. It's something that we can really sink our teeth into. It's plain. It's right to those who find knowledge. And then verse 10, receive my instruction, not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. So after her saying all these things and continue on, she says to receive my instruction. Lady Wisdom's instruction is better than having lots of silver. To have her knowledge, it's better than having choice gold. Her wisdom is better than rubies. And all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. What she's saying, it would be better to have wisdom than have riches. It's better. It's better to have wisdom to know how to live a life in a godly, God-centered way than have much possessions, many possessions. Because we know in chapter 10 of Proverbs, verse 2, treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivers from death. And so we see that these things are not worth it. I'm trying to find the text. Let me see if I can find it quickly. The text basically says something to the effect of, it's better to have little with the fear of the Lord than have much with hatred and strife. And so we see that she is saying it's better to have what I can give you than all the riches of the world. Nothing that you have can be compared with her. Nothing can be compared with wisdom. Why is this true? Because we live in a culture that people can have all the money that they want, all the fame, and they still realize life is pointless. Life is pointless. There's no point. There's no purpose. Think about all that we have as we have this book. When the world doesn't know what to believe, doesn't have any basis, when we have this book, this lamp to our feet, this light to our path, we know that God made us male and female, and it's good, and we can know what it means to be a man, what it means to be a woman. Not only that we are male and female, but what does that mean? We have in this treasures of what it means to live a full life as a man or as a woman. As the world is so consumed with anxiety, worry, and fear, you can almost say it's an epidemic in our culture. We have the wisdom here in this book to know how to fight worry and fear and anxiety, because we know the one who reigns over all things. And our Heavenly Father already knows what we need of before we ask. And every good and perfect gift comes from Him. And therefore, as we are tempted to worry, we can look to the promises of God that never change. We know what it means because we have God's Word. We know how to get to heaven. We know the way to go. I mean, even something like that can be so taken for granted in Christian circles, that we know the way to get to heaven. We know that through faith in Jesus Christ, and through His death and resurrection, we're on our way to heaven. And we can have certainty knowing that our eternity is secure. We know what it means to be a faithful husband or a faithful wife, or what it means to be a faithful child. We have all this in the Word of God. We know what it means to marry someone who is godly and ungodly, because there's another verse in Proverbs. Who can find a virtuous wife? Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. It says the same thing. Her worth is far above rubies. So we have in God's Word answers for all of our questions. All our ailments, all our soul care is found in God's Word. And this is why it's so foolish, especially for people who profess godliness, to say, you know what, I know the Bible is good, but I need something better. Because God's wisdom is better than anything we can compare it to. It's better than worldly psychology. It's better than worldly self-esteem. It's better than worldly self-help. All those things are a dead end. Because you already love yourself, and to tell yourself to love yourself more is a dead end. Because what you're telling is, be selfish, which never helps anybody. Or when they say, you know what, there's no sin. Well, if there's no sin, then there's no need for redemption. But the Word of God gives us answers for all these things, and therefore, it's better to have this and to know it than to have the riches of this world. This is why at Shrine and Grace we spend so much time in this book, reading it, expositing it, preaching through it, because what I can give you matters little. I can't even think about my own wisdom because of years of being saturated in this book. I just desire to give people what God says, because I know my wisdom isn't going to really help anybody. But what has God said in His Word? That's the most important thing. That's what's far more valuable than rubies. What does God say about this situation? And our desire should be like newborn babes, as it says in 1 Peter, to receive the Word of God, the pure milk of the Word, that we might grow thereby. There's no shortcut to growing in the Christian life outside of knowing, studying, memorizing, meditating on the Word of God. Because the Christian life is this, in a nutshell. Problem, what does the Word have to say? And do I have the courage to apply it to my life? I know that's oversimplification, but that's a this situation is going on. And it's a moral situation. It's not a neutral situation that's amoral and it doesn't have, it's Coke or Pepsi, that's amoral. But something that is moral, a moral duty. We see the problem, what does the Word of God have to say, and we do it. And also, this is important too, that we are being constantly renewed in the Word of God, because a lot of times in our life, we don't always have the opportunity to sit it for a couple days and ponder something. We are a lot of times making decisions out of the overflow of our hearts. And therefore, the Word of God, which is far more valuable than rubies, silver, or gold, which nothing can be compared with her, should be in our hearts. So that when we make these decisions, they are rooted and grounded in Scripture. And not our feelings, our preferences, our own longings, but what does God have to say about it? How can a young man cleanse his way, the Word of God says? Or another way of understanding it, how can a young man keep his way pure? Or how can a young woman, or how can an older woman, how can a middle-aged woman, how can anybody in the world keep their way pure, cleanse their way? By taking heed according to your word. Psalm 119, verse 9. And then the more famous verse, Psalm 119, verse 11. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Or another verse that helps us with the importance of this. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. We must be the people of the book. We must be people that are not concerned about what this person thinks and what this person thinks if it's their own opinion. We have enough people giving us their opinions in our culture. We need to know, what does God say? What does God have to say on that issue? Because if we're Christian, truly, our lives are to be submitted to Lady Wisdom, which is God's wisdom, and seek to bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Every thought. To say, why am I doing this? Or why am I doing that? Is it because I've subjected it to the Word of God, or I'm just going along with my culture? We need to be rooted and grounded in God's Word. That is a key application from a text like this. That we must hear and heed God's Word. Let me turn you to Psalm 19. I quoted it earlier, but let's just look at that text. Psalm 19. Psalm 19, starting at verse 7. Psalm 19 and verse 7. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. So first and foremost, the law of the Lord converts us. It restores us in sanctification, which it could be understood that way, or it could be understood as it converts us. It brings us from death to life. It converts the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. It brings us wisdom. God's word, God's law converts the soul. It makes simple people wise. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. It brings joy to us. It rejoices the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Our eyes begin to see things like we should, the spiritual eyes of our soul. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The word of God is so connected with the fear of God that the Bible can be called the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. There's a cleanness, there's a purity to it. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. God's judgments, God's decrees, God's purposes, they're true, they're righteous altogether. More to be desired are they, namely the word of God, than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Some of you might be able to even think about your own life if you're converted later in life. Only if I knew what God's word had to say, I wouldn't have made this error in my life. I wouldn't have fallen into the sin. I wouldn't have given into this. If only I knew and applied God's word. Not only knowing it, but applying it, because we can know it and not apply it. If only I would have known and applied, I would not have had this scar over my life. I would not have this scar in my life if I knew and applied God's word. And Lady Wisdom wants us to know the blessing and the enjoyment and the rejoicing of heart that comes from knowing and heeding what she has to say. Sadly, we can even have people who will say or come to have say something effective. I know that's what the Word of God says, but we know we're in a problem there. I know that's what the Word of God says, but I feel this way, or I just don't think it. I just don't think that's right, or I just don't think that's going to be culturally acceptable. All these things can be put into the mouths of even Christians who, instead of saying, I want to know and submit to God's wisdom, it's, I know that's what God says, but. And we need to be on guard for that. And we also know, as we think about wisdom, the one who is incarnate wisdom himself, the one who is wisdom incarnate, Jesus Christ. And therefore, by following wisdom, we're following Jesus Christ. He is wisdom par excellence. He is wisdom incarnate. He is God's wisdom coming to human flesh. God manifested in the flesh. And so we receive wisdom because we receive Christ. And in Christ, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are found. And so if you're here without Christ, there's no way you could ever desire God's wisdom, because God's wisdom is opposite to what you like, because you're at hostility to God. And the only way that you will want God's wisdom is if you come to repent and put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way you'll want it. Otherwise, you'll reject it and say, I'll do my own thing. But if you come to repent and put your trust in Jesus Christ, then you will desire, by God's grace, to do what God says is right. And then for those who are saved, those who are in Christ, do you love the word? Do you desire to submit to it wherever it takes you? Wherever the word leads you, do you want to follow it? Wherever God takes us by his word and by his spirit, do we want to follow it? Or do we have an animosity saying, well, I want to do my own thing? We should be people, by God's grace, who hear and heed wisdom's call. Doing what wisdom says. Heeding her commands, Lady Wisdom's commands, because those commands are God's commands. And we should submit and humble ourselves to say, God knows best, and therefore we want to do his ways. And beloved, for us, for you, when you do it God's way, you are saying, I want what's best, because God's ways are good, perfect, and lovely. And therefore our hearts and our minds and our wills should be submitted to what God says, doing his will for his glory. Amen. Our Father, we thank you for your word. And we do pray that you would make us people of the book that love your word, delight in it, and want to obey it. In Jesus' name, amen.